Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tapper Brothers. We're broadcasting this week from the Department of Improvisational Linguistics here at Car Talk Plaza.
Yeah. Someone named Linda Saunders sent us a link to an online section of the Merriam-Webster Dictionary.
Yeah.
And at this page, you can suggest new words, things that you think there should be a word for.
Oh.
Right?
Yeah, sure.
And here, I'll just...
like your hair.
These are pretty good.
Okay.
For example, the first one that jumped out at me was snotsicle.
No definition needed.
You get it.
Yeah, I remember my kids having a few of those.
A pendant mass of ice.
Ah, we don't...
formed by the freezing of dripping snot. You got some snotsicles there. that was submitted by Rebecca from New York.
I love it. It's pretty good, Rebecca. And it took us this long to come up with that word.
It's crazy, isn't it? Would ya? The noise your mouth makes when you're swishing liquid around in it between your teeth, as with mouthwash. Take 2 tablespoons of mouthwash and would you it around in your mouth. How about stupefy? The realization that you have been a complete idiot for way too long.
I can see that one coming.
Yeah. And it is my favorite. Did you know that our sister is a chickentarian?
Oh, I did.
You know what it is, right?
Yeah.
A person who claims to be a vegetarian but eats chicken.
Her reason being, you ready for this?
Yeah.
They're stupid. They're almost as stupid as vegetables, and that, therefore,
but they're really as stupid as chickens.
She needs a stupefy, I think.
She does, yeah. That's it.
Well, look.
There are hundreds more if you want me to keep reading.
Oh, I'm sure there are, and I'm sure that we'll get some better submissions than those even from our listeners. But if you're coining a few choice words because of your car, give us a call at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Jim from Boca Raton.
Jim.
How you doing, guys?
Go Boca Vista. That's where Jerry Seinfeld's parents moved to.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm from a pure part of the country. I was born in Lynn.
Oh, Lynn.
Sin. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
What is it with Lynn?
I don't know. It's been taking a beating over the years.
So you escaped, and you're now living in Boca Raton. What do you do down there?
I import and export rum.
No kidding.
At night?
No, not anymore. Used to do that, but no, we're up on the up and up now, yeah, really.
Now you are.
But I got a problem.
Yeah?
I got a problem with my Ford Lehman diesel engine.
In a boat, right?
Yeah, it's a truck engine modified to be in a boat.
And it's the boat that you use to make those runs to Cuba.
Well, I want to know if I should be making any more runs. Yeah.
Okay. What does it do?
I got what they call piston slap.
Oh.
Yeah, I didn't like
how
that.
How big is this engine?
It's the big block 6.2 liter,
oh,
120. It's a big engine, but as I say, they just modified the thing to go into a boat.
Yeah.
It's a truck engine, but I got piston slap in number 6.
How do you know?
Oh, you can hear it. It makes a loud clicking noise in the engine when it's running.
Clicking noise?
It might not be piston slap. I mean, it could be a bad wrist pin, but in any case, go ahead.
My mechanic came down, and he's a diesel guy, and he says you got piston slap. Okay. Then he says it could last 3 weeks, it could last 3 years.
Wow.
I was wondering, what is the piston slap exactly, if that's what it is? And number two, how long will it last, or maybe, and when is the engine going to go, and why does it go? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
all very good questions.
Because I'm going to go to the Bahamas next weekend, and I want to know whether I should
go. That boat, you're not.
Right.
What piston slap is when the piston skirt is slapping against the cylinder wall because the cylinder has gotten enlarged or the piston has worn out.
Oh,
right.
Really?
I mean, the piston, as you know, is a very, very tight fit.
Right.
Supposed to be in the cylinder. So it goes straight up and down, straight up and down, straight up and down.
Right.
And the only way it can slap is if the hole that it's in has gotten bigger,
right,
or the piston has gotten smaller.
Yeah.
Either of which happens with wear.
And that often occurs if a chunk of the piston, for example, gets worn away at the top.
Yeah.
So that the thing is now unbalanced and it begins to lean to one side as the combustion gases are pushing it down. So then it'll wear away one side of the cylinder wall. Then as the thing goes up and down, it'll slap against us. You'll get...
And do you hear it the most when you first start it up?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, as the piston expands...
Yeah.
And fills the space a little bit better.
It gets a little quieter.
So you could try filling that space.
With what?
Well, there are various
anything that says miraculous on it.
Yeah, off fast setting.
I mean, it's bad enough to get broken down on the interstate.
Yeah, right.
But in international waters with 5,000 bottles of contraband rum.
Yeah, really. But yeah, so it looks bad.
Well, what will happen eventually is the piston will probably break.
Oh, really?
Yeah, a piece of the skirt will break off, and then the thing will begin to vibrate like crazy.
Yeah.
And then you'll have to shut it down because you'll be afraid that the bolt will shake itself to smithereens.
Yeah, see, the thing is, it's already given you the warning. It's not going to give you any more warning until it's time to shut it down and float with the little flag up saying...
And then the engine's shot, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I wouldn't go out on the water with this at all.
Oh, really?
Now, here's what you should do. I mean, if the rum business is good enough, you should get yourself another engine, even a used one.
Yeah, right.
And slap it in there, no pun intended.
Yeah, I hear you.
And rebuild this one.
You can't just do the cylinder, the one piston. You have to do them all, right?
Oh, I would do them all. You're going to have to yank the engine out anyway.
You have to take the whole thing apart to do this. So this is a rebuild.
But you're saying that this thing could go at any time then, eh?
Yes.
It could, but it's unlikely to go tomorrow.
Right.
But I don't underestimate the possibility that your mechanic is wrong in his diagnosis.
Yeah.
And if it is a bearing that's bad and not a piston slap, then it could go within hours.
And then when it goes, the piston's going to probably come right through the block.
Oh, yeah.
So I would stay near the front of the boat, Jim.
I'm going to stay in the upper helm station. I don't want that thing getting.
Whatever you do, don't stand on the deck above the engine. See you later, man.
Okay, thank you.
Good luck.
Appreciate it.
Bye-bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Liz from Columbia, Missouri.
Hi, Liz.
How are you? Great.
Yeah, that good.
Columbia, Mo.
Columbia, Missouri.
That is correct.
Yeah, so what's up, Liz?
Okay, this is my problem.
Yeah.
My husband finishes up his residency here in Missouri at the end of June.
Oh.
And he is interested in a Porsche. And he's looking at used Porsches.
Wait, he's just finishing his residency and he's got enough money for a Porsche already?
A used Porsche, yes.
Wow.
This is my question. He's looked at a 928. It's only got 38,000 miles on it. Hmm. My question is this. The car's never been driven when it rains, and it's only driven on weekends. Now, my husband is not good with cars. Now, this car is a Porsche. I know it's got to be serviced anytime they putter something. My question is this. What is this going to run me to keep this car running?
Well, first of all, the question is this an appropriate vehicle for a doctor? And it depends on what his specialty is. I mean, is he a real doctor that has to make emergency calls, or is he like a wuss, like a dermatologist?
He's a cardiothoracic surgeon, so he operates on hearts and lungs.
Oh, he's going to have to get there in
no time flat.
Well, that's why he wants the Porsche, because the Porsche, you turn the key and you're right there.
He wants the Porsche so he looks good in it. He could get a car that drives fast, but...
He wants to... How old is your husband?
He is 34.
34? Wow. What do they want for this, do you know?
My guess, I think, is around $14,500.
Wow.
Now, how much is the upkeep actually going to be?
Going to be brutal.
I'm the money person, so that's he's got to get push it through me before he.
Well, I mean, he's saving people's lives with his thoracics. So, I mean, the least you could do is write a couple of checks once in a while. Liz.
Well, yeah, but he has two kids and a wife to support.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And you too.
He's gonna have to do a lot of unnecessary surgery. Well, I know it's just a pimple, but if you don't take care of these things early, anything could happen.
Exactly.
We're going to have to take your heart out. You won't mind,
send it
will you?
For a rebuild. Oh, God.
I mean, repairs are extraordinarily expensive.
Pretty soon, Liz. I mean, the dough's going to just be rolling
It's not going to matter.
Let's put it this way. He's 34 getting his first job, so you can imagine the amount of debt. that's hanging over our head.
Yeah, but you're the money person. He obviously he's been consumed by his studies and whatever for the last 25 years.
20,000 years, yeah.
20,000 years.
And you've been forced to take over all the household responsibilities, including paying the bills, and I'm sure you've done a very good job of it.
Yes.
But it's time to let go.
Really?
I think so.
What are you suggesting here?
Let him do whatever he wants.
But what's going to be my monthly cost at Hans, the dealer?
Well, it depends on what kind of shape it's in.
Uh-huh.
And hopefully...
It almost makes no difference what kind of shape it's in. I think it's going to be on the order of, on average, $200 a month.
Okay.
I was going to say five.
All right, five.
Okay, let's go with the higher number.
No, let's split the difference.
Okay. Four.
$350.
Okay. $350. That's nothing.
But see, you guys don't understand. He bought a vehicle once when I was out of town, and it was a total lemon. And I'll never let him live that down.
Oh, you can't trust him, in other words.
No.
So this guy is taking people's hearts out of their chests. He's breaking through a person's rib cage with a chainsaw.
He's good at
that. Pulling out the guy's heart and holding it in his hands.
Exactly.
And you don't trust him to buy a car.
That is correct.
And so how many of us are going to trust him to take our hearts out of our chests?
Well, no, he's very good at that. I just don't trust him with money.
No, he's just too focused on what he does.
Thank
and that's good.
God for that.
You want those
you
guys
want
to
him
be,
to be focused. You don't want him to be angry or depressed.
Or deprived.
Or deprived in any way.
Liz will be doing a disservice to his patients if you don't just write the check for the Porsche and shut up.
You guys are
going to
side with him.
And good luck, Liz. I'm happy to know that you will come out of this deep depression having to do with money and forget about all you owe.
Okay.
Because, I mean, they've probably written it all off anyway.
Yeah, don't worry.
And they're
about
not going to take back his medical degree just because he doesn't pay his bills.
Oh, I don't know about that.
They won't. They can't. Won't.
You can always go to Uruguay.
Great. Then you can tell me how to fix the Uruguay pickup.
Yes. Call us when you get there.
Uruguayan pickup.
See you, Liz.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
14.5 is peanuts.
It is. It's the repair bills that are going to kill
them. Oh, man.
Yeah, little do they know.
Little do they know.
Oh, that's all right, but it'll be fun. And like I said, pretty soon the dough is going to start. They will be amazed. When
yeah.
It doesn't. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Manish from Davis, California.
Manish, M-A-N-I-S-H?
Wow, very good.
Really?
Yes.
From Davis?
Yep.
What do you teach?
Absolutely nothing.
Really?
Absolutely nothing. I just work as an environmental chemist.
Ah.
I can't believe I told you guys that.
No, yeah,
no,
you'll, be,
no
you'll regret that.
You're in a
lot
of trouble.
Yeah.
Oh, well, it happens. You know, we're so good at just eliciting this kind of information.
Dirt, they call it.
People are trying to hide from us.
What kind of name is Manish?
It's Indian.
It's Indian, but you don't have the accent.
I'm working on it.
I can do
an accent. I can do an Apu from Simpson.
Oh, good.
Okay, what do you want me to say?
Oh, how about thank you kindly very much?
I cannot talk the whole call like this, but I can try for a little bit.
It's very good. I love it.
Okay, well, you know what? My wife already gave me a hard time for calling.
She did.
She said, if you're going to call, you have to be funny and charming, and I can't believe you're going to call in with such a lame problem.
No, we don't care. The lamer, the better.
Okay, well, I have a 1987 Mazda 626,
mm-hmm.
And I've been changing the car oil regularly. Every single time I change car oil comes out of the filter. Last time I changed oil on my Mazda, it was bone dry.
Really?
And I'm really worried.
As well, you should be.
The filter looked like it was brand new. There was no dirty stuff in it. There was no crud. It looked like when I had put it in.
Oh, like the oil had never even got to it.
Jeez. Well.
And your wife thought this was a lame question?
Yeah.
Manish, this is the most interesting question we've had in weeks.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, this is something that is so rare that it's never happened before.
Oh, no, that means it's so expensive.
Oh, man.
Well, there are a lot of possibilities. I mean, if you're really convinced that the oil isn't getting to the filter, you're going to have to do a test.
That's why I'm calling.
The test
simple.
Is simple.
Very simple. Messy, okay. Possibly, but simple.
Messy, yes. You should have plenty of kitty.
Messy.
You should have plenty of kitty litter available.
Or do it in your neighbor's driveway.
Okay.
At night.
At night.
I don't know if they listen to Car Talk, but yeah.
Well, they will.
Or when they're on vacation. You drive them to the airport. You have to remove the filter, and then you have to crank the engine over.
No.
How else can you know?
Okay. All right.
In fact, there is in your engine a relief valve that is designed to prevent the engine from getting destroyed if the filter should get plugged up due to a malfunction.
Okay.
Or a mismanufacture, or the fact that it hasn't been changed in 50, 60,000 miles.
Wow.
And it's possible that that device, that bypass, is preventing oil from getting to your filter because it is malfunctioning.
Ooh.
Yeah, I mean, that's as bad as that sounds. It's good because it means the oil is getting to the rest of the engine. It's just not getting filtered.
Is that easy to fix?
I don't know. Like I said, it's so rare that we've never seen it before.
So you're serious?
On a Mazda. It is easy to fix. It probably requires, I'm sure it requires, taking the pan off.
Okay.
Which is something you may not want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Or sticking a long skewer.
No. Yeah, see, my...
Well, this is an 87. This is a car that's old enough to practice on.
No.
I can't afford to do that. We're going to have a baby in a month and a half.
Uh-oh.
You got to fire it up.
Anish,
you got, come on.
Okay, all right.
We'll be awaiting your call.
Okay.
See you, Manish.
All right, thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, Tommy, here's your hint about last week's puzzler. It was about bugs and shorts.
Mm.
That got your attention? Huh?
Sorry, were you talking to me? I was eyeing that donut.
We'll be back in a minute.
And even though the host of Antiques Roadshow heaves Martha Washington's chamber pot at his radio whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR. Hey, if you'd like to hear more Car Talk.
Yeah, like if you're a jackhammer operator and miss grating noises when you get home.
You can download hundreds of classic Car Talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's puzzler. Now, this was submitted by Ross Tsukashima, I assume, if I'm pronouncing his name correctly, and he writes, a friend of mine used to work at a Ford assembly plant, and he told me the following story that took place some years ago. A new model came out, and like any new model, there were bugs that needed to be worked out. Amongst these problems was one really strange one. It seemed that one out of every six cars delivered to a dealership would have a dead battery. The engineers at Ford were perplexed. They did circuit tests for short circuits. They tested their own shorts, and none were found. They did extensive lot testing on batteries to see if one out of every six was a problem from the battery manufacturer.
No.
No luck. They hired specialists and consultants, experts on batteries and chemicals, to try and pinpoint the problem, and of course, they found nothing. For 3 months, the problem existed, and for 3 months, the problem remained the same. One out of every six cars delivered would have a dead battery. He says, my friend was a quality control engineer and decided to take things into his own hands. He walked the entire assembly plant, talked to workers, started out in components, then he went to chassis, the electrical, the cafeteria. And he wound up at final test, and without fail, each car would start up at the end and was driven away.
So we went back to the cafeteria.
There were no dead batteries at final test. He was stumped. He watched the cars being loaded for shipment and then turned around to talk to the guy in charge of final test. He asked him if there were ever any dead batteries at final test. The guy said no, never.
Yeah. See, the only thing I get out of that is that whatever happened as they were loading the vehicles onto the truck.
You're so close. He then explained the situation. One out of six batteries was dead. He pondered and smiled and said he knew what the problem was. The question is, what was it? This is, and I gave a hint, this was the old days when cars were big.
When cars were big.
And the big trucks that carried the cars held, how many cars do you figure?
Five.
How about six?
Six is good.
Six is good.
Well, they should have only had five.
they should have had only five, that's right. But because they had six, one of them was always at such an angle that the mercury switch for the trunk light was turning the trunk light on for the entire time the car was being transported on the truck.
Ooh, 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 ooh.
And that was killing the batteries. By the time they reached their destination, one out of the six batteries was dead.
What mercury switch for the trunk light? There's no such thing.
Of course there is!
I won't touch it, though.
No!
That's fine!
No!
Fine! It's a great answer. Great. Absolutely great.
Who's our winner?
No winner. The winner is Paul Brogger from Tenino, Washington. And for having his answer selected at random from among the heap of correct answers that we got, Paul is going to get a $26 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division at CarTalk.com, with which you can get any one of our famous CarTalk CD collections, which are described in detail on our website.
And, of course, you could refoist on a relative this holiday season.
Right.
And, by the way, our parking services people would like you to know that they are still giving away free Car Talk Plaza parking permits with any order.
Yeah, and that permit allows you to park at any Car Talk Plaza parking facility 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
If you can find a Car Talk Plaza parking facility.
And if you do, make sure you let us know, because I've got a glove box full of tickets from trying to park in Harvard Square.
Anyway, we have a new puzzle coming up, so stay tuned. Or if you have a question about your car, we can take a crack at that right now. Give us a call. We're at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-2278-255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Rich from Mount Upton, New York.
Hey, Rich.
Mount Upton, where is that?
Well, it's right near Unadilla.
Yeah, exactly. About 13 miles due northwest as the crow flies.
No kidding.
Yeah, my brother-in-law lives in Unadilla part of the year.
Yeah,
and the
summer part.
Yeah, actually, I think he lives in Mount Upton.
What? He doesn't live in Unadilla?
Well, he thought that would be a more easily recognized when he told us he was moving to Unadilla.
Yeah.
He thought we'd recognize the name.
But he really lives in... Huh? He's lied to me for 40 years?
Yeah, I think he lives in Mount Upton.
No kidding.
And that's where you live, huh?
Yep.
Yeah, he told us there were no radios out there. And that's why he couldn't listen. But I guess that's not true,
Can't believe anything he says. So what's up, Rich?
Well, I want to get involved in the grand sport of demolition derby.
Oh, what a guy.
Now, a friend of mine has three cars, and each car costs $100. And of these three cars, I want to know which one is going to survive the longest.
The Hummer.
Number one is a 72 Chrysler Newport, color blue. Number two is a 79 Cadillac. And the third car is a 68 Plymouth Bonneville.
Pontiac Bonneville.
Pontiac Bonneville, I'm sorry. And again, it doesn't matter what shape they're in. Each car costs $100.
Okay. Well, I'm going to cross off the 79 Caddy right off.
Okay.
Because I think that's a relative lightweight. I mean, the car of choice
would be a rear engine car, but you don't have one of them.
No, you don't have. Well, you will by the time you're done. but I think the car I would like to do it in is a 72 Newport.
That's me too. Only because it weighs about 8,000 pounds.
And it's all metal, man. You got plenty of protection for you. I mean, you could sit in the middle, and you'd never get a scratch on you. Yeah. I like it because the Newport's wide, too. That's a wide car.
The Newport is a Newport, you can fit four people across in the front seat and four more in the back seat.
Our dad had a 73, and the whole football team used to take that thing. Now, that's a lot of fun. I've always wanted to do Demolition Derby, and I've never had an opportunity except with the cars that we get from Bugsy.
Well, this will be the first time for me. I mean, because I had seen it done, but never actually done it. And I'm almost 40, so.
Yeah.
Well, before you do it, you ought to go out and rent the movie Jackass. Have you seen that?
I think so.
You remember the opening scene where the fellow goes in? What's his name? Johnny somebody or other. Johnny Knoxville goes and he rents a car from a car rental agency. And they ask if he wants to buy the additional insurance. It's like $10. He says, no, no, no. Says, that's all right. I don't need that. I'm a real careful driver. And he takes the thing. The next scene, he's in his shop, and they're stripping the thing down and taking the windows out, preparing it for the demolition derby. And there isn't a square millimeter on this car that isn't smashed up by the time he returns it. The bumper's hanging off. The car was destroyed. It looks like a tank drove over it. And he hands the fellow the keys, and he says, I don't know what happened to it. I think a dog ran out in front of me. So you may want to see that to kind of screw up your courage a little bit.
So you would go with the Newport then?
Yeah. why do you want to do this?
Well, because it looks like so much fun. And it's like adult bumper cars.
Yeah, well, it probably is a lot of fun.
Now, do you have a significant other, Rich?
Nope, I'm single.
You're
well,
single.
You're going to stay that way.
But have fun and try not to get hurt. I guess it's somewhat dangerous, but if you have the right equipment, you're probably okay.
Well, basically what they do is they have you take all the glass out.
Right.
You remove the fuel tank, you replace it with a fuel cell, mm-hmm. and they give you, or you have to buy these like special reinforcing rods, so if you roll it, you know, the ceiling doesn't go right on you.
Yeah. Right, you need a roll cage.
Yep.
Right.
And I've even picked out a name for myself and my crew.
Yeah.
Bondo Jones.
I love it.
Bondo Jones Demolition Team.
Oh, Bondo man. Jones. You know what we'd love to have from you, Rich? A picture of you, a before and after picture. Before the day you get the car all set up, as you step into the car, you won't be opening the doors. The doors are welded shut.
Nope.
But
As you're climbing out of the window.
As you're climbing in, we need a picture of you before the car's been damaged. And then we'd love a picture of you if you survived the day after the car's had its first bout. Yeah, that would be fun. We'll put them up on our website. Bondo Jones. I love it.
Okay.
See you later.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Bye-bye. Hey, thank you. Man.
Doesn't anyone screen these calls? 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-22-7825-5. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Jane from Radium Springs, New Mexico.
Radium?
Yes.
Like the radioactive element?
Yes.
Is this a natural site for radium?
It's well, we have hot springs, but I don't think there's any radium.
Well, why would they call it radium springs?
They thought there was radium in the water around the turn of the
century. Is there anyone there with 11 fingers?
Yeah, maybe.
Really? So
maybe everyone's got 11 fingers and they never noticed.
Right? Yeah.
And somebody shows up with 10. What the hell's the matter with you? Radium Springs. Boy, that's a pretty ominous sounding name.
It really is.
Oh, it's a nice little town.
Oh, well, thanks for calling,
I'm sure
Gene.
It is. I think the only thing that might be worse would be Plutonium Springs.
No.
Spent plutonium. Anyway, Radium Springs, eh? All right, yep. Well, we're with you. What's going on, Gene?
Okay. Well, we live on a little bluff overlooking the river, and there's a 50-foot cliff off that runs along the edge of our driveway, and my 1983 Porsche 944 had been parked perpendicular to the edge of the driveway and the cliff, and it was about 30 feet away from the cliff, and I came home from town one day and found my Porsche teetering on the edge of the cliff.
Oh.
It had driven there by itself.
Oh.
And what happened?
Well, we kind of thought it was a little bit suicidal.
Yeah.
My husband and I pushed it back and put chocks under all the tires so it couldn't get away. But we don't know why it did that.
Wait, how did you push it if it was hanging off the edge?
Well, we stood on the edge of the cliff and very
What are you, careful. Crazy?
You are crazy.
Well, we live in Radium Springs.
You had a couple of... Oh, it's gotten to your brain. So you had a couple of 1,000 pounds of automobile basically ready to run you over with one misstep by you and your husband. And had you lost your footing and the car made a little headway in the wrong direction, it could have... Not only would we have lost the car, but we would have lost you and your husband, Gene.
That's true.
So you saved the car.
Yeah, we did.
And now what?
The car had been parked initially in reverse. The emergency brake was on. There was no key in the car. We had just driven it the day before, so we knew it was running.
Yeah.
And it just drove itself.
So obviously it drove downhill.
No, it drove actually up a slight incline.
Oh, jeez.
What?
It did.
You don't have a teenage son?
We do. Well, he's 20.
Wait a minute. Let's go back a step here. In order to drive up this incline, it would have to have been in first gear. Am I correct? Or would
it backed up.
It backed up. So
it's backing up.
Oh, okay. So it could have, if the engine turned in the proper direction, then it would have backed up this incline.
Yes.
Okay. So the fact, if it had been in first instead of reverse, it would have wound up going in the other direction.
Yeah, it would have gone down the hill.
It would have gone down the hill.
Have you verified that the handbrake works?
It does. It's very strong, yes.
I think we can say without any doubt that somebody had to have done something, because if the handbrake is on and it's in gear and it moves up a hill, it didn't do
old
that by itself.
Old contrary piston puss.
Oh, no. You tell me.
I'm going to describe
Go
to
ahead.
You now a
Go
scenario.
Ahead. I can hardly wait.
Me too. Somehow or another, the thing didn't start, because that would require someone energizing the ignition circuit. But what did happen was the starter motor got energized all by itself.
Okay.
And,
come on.
Well, that's.
I mean, I know that it can happen.
It can happen.
I remember the day.
You remember the day that.
I remember the day the car was on the lift, and
yes.
all of a sudden, it started up.
In fact,
that scared us.
Yeah, and we've had other cases, and it happens all the time.
Okay.
You occasionally see a car that has just been parked and has burst into flames.
Oh.
And it often happens when the starter motor engages all by itself with no provocation from an individual or nobody turning the key or anything like that.
It does happen, I will admit.
And the starter motor will begin to turn. And, of course, if the thing's, for example, in neutral or in park, if it were an automatic, the starter motor would simply crank, and it wouldn't start the engine because there's no spark, and it would draw so much current that it would eventually catch fire.
Well, you know, the battery was dead when we found it.
Yes.
And the battery will not recharge, and also we tried a different battery in it, a good battery, and it didn't work either.
And what may have saved you was the emergency brake.
Okay.
Because the starter motor has so much torque that it's enough to overcome that emergency brake.
Oh.
So what happened is the starter motor engaged, and it started to draw energy from the battery. It started to move the thing backwards because it was in reverse, and it maybe went a foot, maybe went an inch, who knows, but it stayed engaged. And every time that starter had a chance to overcome that emergency brake, it did. So it moved an inch, a foot, an inch, who knows, and maybe it just struggled against the emergency brake. And finally,
luckily,
the battery died. Exactly.
Yeah,
the battery died just before it went over the edge.
Yeah, that was lucky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It could be that there's a crossed wire or shorted wire someplace. The problem could be right inside the starter motor solenoid.
Okay.
You know, so it could have been the starter itself that did it.
And so the first thing I would do is replace the starter.
Okay.
Right.
See,
I would
what happens.
Take the starter out and don't leave it in gear anymore. Well,
You know, a lot of people leave it in gear because it keeps it from rolling.
Right.
But it went anyway.
Yeah, and actually, I would do exactly this. I would fix it if you can. So put a battery in it. You may have just killed the battery. The starter motor may have just burned itself out, and I'm guessing that's what happened.
Yeah,
okay.
It may have taken quite a while for it to get from where it was to where it ended up.
Right. It may have taken a day.
No, I did it like in a period of 3 hours.
Maybe it took 3 hours. That sounds amazing. But whatever it did, it was enough to kill the battery.
Okay.
And the starter motor is now obviously junk because I think that's what caused the problem. So you need to replace the starter.
Okay.
And put a battery in it and then see if it happens again. What you're going to have to do is
camp out.
Watch the thing.
Yeah.
Make a thermos bottle full of coffee and sit out there and watch it. And if it's all right for one night, I think you're good to go. All right. And if it goes off the cliff, it goes off the cliff. What can you do, Gene?
It would join the Model A down the bottom of the cliff.
All right. It could also be that radioactive whatever.
Something could be happening. Yeah.
Yeah. Who knows? Well, good luck. And let us know if anything exciting happens.
Okay. Thank you.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
Wow.
All right. Look, it's time for us to take a short break and get ready for the brand new puzzler.
Do you hear that?
Hear what?
Are those carolers I hear outside the window? I love this time of year.
I hate to break it to you, Frank, but those aren't carolers. Those are just our regular hecklers.
I could have sworn I heard Christmas music.
Well, they were saying, "Hark the bogus puzzler sings."
We'll be back with the new puzzler in just a minute.
You see him from a distance in his rusty red pickup. It'll cause you consternation, it'll bring on a case of hiccups. You try to turn around and go another way, but there's other cars behind you, now he'll have you as his prey. He's singing lie, la la la, la la la, la la la, la la la.
And even though space aliens add us to their list of humanoids not to abduct whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR. Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the new Puzzler.
I can't.
Now, you're
going
to pay attention to all the details.
I'm going to.
I can say with almost honesty that everything you're about to hear is relevant and pertinent and
really?
Useful.
No,
not
you
really,
can't no. say that.
Well, the germ of this puzzle was presented by one of my customers who also happens to be and has been for the past 30 years a traveling salesman. He travels around from town to town selling whatever he sells. I think he sells nuts and bolts, etc.
Yeah.
Cotter pins and the like.
Great.
And like I said, he's been a salesman for 30 years. And when he first started out on this job, I guess he immediately fell into disfavor with the company hierarchy because they assigned him, he started in the middle of winter, and they assigned him such exotic places like Moose Jaw, Maine, Freeze Your Butt, New Hampshire, places like that. So he would have to travel by car from one location to another. And he often found himself, because he was a salesman driving from town to town in the winter, looking for cheap motels in which to spend the night. So you with me so far?
I'm with you so far.
You are, huh?
Yeah.
Well, that's too bad.
Mostly in the Great Northeast here.
Mostly. Oh, yeah. His route was Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, upstate New York.
Man.
Terrible.
He really ticked somebody off, didn't he?
Well, worse than that, when the weather got nice, they shipped him down to Florida, Georgia, Alabama. And then as soon as the winter came,
Back he goes. Yeah.
And he began to notice, he said, a disturbing thing. When he would stop at these motels, oftentimes the owner of the motel was also the clerk, and they'd have you fill out that little card, you know, name, address, phone, home phone, in case you skip out in the middle of the night. And he said in some of those, they had a little thing that said occupation. And in some cases, they had nothing that asked for occupation. But it seemed to be always the case that the motel owner would ask him what he did for a living.
Really?
And then when he said he was a salesman, he would almost always be assigned a room on the second floor if they had one, or if the motel had a second floor.
Right.
And
so
he asked me if I knew why this happened. And I said, I didn't have a clue. So he gave me a clue.
He did.
Well, I asked him if it had anything to do with the car that he drove. And he said, I guess you could say so. At the time, I was driving a Volkswagen. And that's all I knew.
Yeah.
And from that, I was able to get the answer out of him when I got him in a headlock. Now, if you think you know the answer, write that answer on the back of a $20 bill or a ripe melon and send it to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238. Or you can email your answer to us from cartalk.com. If you'd like to call us, the number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255.
You haven't done the double-triple thing for the whole show, you know.
You're on car Talk. car Talk, Talk, Talk.
Hello? Is someone there?
Hey, fellas. This is Ed.
Ed! I'm glad you called.
Why's that?
I don't know. Where are you from?
I'm from Boston.
No kidding. What part?
Brighton, actually.
Brighton.
Across the river from you guys.
Yeah.
I know where Brighton Center is. Are you near there?
Not far.
Cool.
What's going on, Ed?
I have this 1986 Honda Civic. It is a two-door hatchback with 160,000 miles on it, and it is a car that I love.
Mm.
It drives really well. It's very, it used to be very dependable. And so About 3 weeks ago, a couple of buddies and myself, we were going to go mountain biking up a little north of the city here. And so we piled the bikes into the car and we went up to this place called the Fells. I don't know if you're familiar with it.
Middlesex Fells Reservation.
That's the one, yeah.
Nice place.
It's a great place. So
we lost a few Cub Scouts there one year, but that's another story altogether.
Yeah. Well, I haven't seen your Cub Scouts. But,
if well, you should run across
they'd
them.
They'd be grown men now.
Give my brother a call.
Answering the name of Bigfoot.
All right. So
how many bikes and how many people? Three?
Okay.
Three of each?
Three bikes, three people, right?
Got it. Okay.
So we get to this little parking lot there, and I pull in, and it's kind of this parking lot where you have to parallel park into the spaces. So I get to this space and begin to parallel park and put it in the reverse and hear this really horrible noise as if the exhaust has fallen out of the car and is just dragging on the street.
Stick shift?
Yep. And so I took it to my mechanic, and the car needed a new clutch anyway. So I said to them, you know, could you do the clutch and could you check out this noise? Well, the guy gives me a call back and says, well, we've replaced your clutch, but when we pulled the transmission off the car, we found out that one of the rods has a bolt that broke off. This is probably the noise that you heard. So he fixes it. I get the car back. The following weekend, go to do the exact same thing.
Huh.
The car makes the exact same noise.
But up until that time, you had backed up into other parking spots.
Yep, yep.
Without the make the noise or tell us what the noise is again.
It sounds like the exhaust has fallen off the car, so it's broken in half. It's fallen off the car, and you're backing up, and so you're dragging the exhaust.
So it sounds like
something like that, yeah.
And this is let's get it exactly straight here. This has happened after you have put it into reverse.
Yep.
And the car is moving in the backwardly direction.
Yes.
Is there any inclination involved here, uphill
nope,
or downhill?
It's perfectly flat.
All right, now, is it correct to say that one of the distinguishing features of the two different conditions, what you drive the car all week, you back up into spaces.
I know the difference.
Hills, no difference. But when you get to the Fells, is it correct that that is the most weight that you have
yes.
in the car all week?
Two, yeah.
Three guys
actually,
and three
yeah.
bikes.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, I think you. When you hypothesized that your exhaust system was dragging on the ground,
you were right.
You
almost.
Were closer to it than you think.
I think so too.
I think the exhaust system is hitting the undercarriage of the car, and I think it's doing that because you have a broken motor mount. So when you put the thing in reverse. And the motor pitches the other way.
The torque
of the engine is forcing the exhaust system up against the floor of the car.
Oh,
where
man,
it is rattling
I
against
love it.
The heat shield.
Wow.
Heat
that
shield.
Is amazing.
Isn't that good?
And all it's got to do is just touch that heat shield. There's a piece of sheet metal that's actually attached to the floor of the car that shields the inside of the car from the heat of the exhaust system.
And if the exhaust system touches that thing, it's going to vibrate like crazy.
And it sounds like hell.
You guys are great.
Ask the mechanic to check the motor mounts.
I definitely will
and
do that.
And that's going to do it, man.
All right.
If it doesn't, just don't take these two guys anymore to the
Make
Fells.
One of them ride up to the Fells.
Exactly. They'll feel better. See you later, Ed.
Thanks very much,
Thanks
guys.
For your call.
Bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Deborah. I'm from Gros Eel, Michigan.
Hi. Are you the Deborah with an H at the end or without?
With an H.
Okay.
So it's Deborah.
Correct.
Deborah. And where are you from again?
Gros Eel, Michigan.
Gros Eel, Michigan.
Big Island in French.
Yes.
Yes.
Gros Eel, Michigan.
Why all this French stuff in Michigan?
Because the trappers were in Michigan.
Yeah. It's the Canadians.
Yeah.
It is.
They kind of got there first.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Antoine du Cadillac.
Oh, yeah.
Among others.
Right.
Yeah,
yeah
so anyway.
Well, my issue is with my husband. He's convinced that you should only put a few gallons of gas in the car at one time because the weight of the gas, you're carrying around all this weight, and it's now dragging down your gas mileage.
Huh.
So he tells everybody to only put in a few gallons at a time.
Yeah, well, he's right.
Is he really?
Is he really?
You can't believe it, can you?
I mean, how much can a gallon of gas weigh?
Well, how much does he weigh?
Well, we'll tell you exactly.
He weighs about 175.
Oh.
Yeah, see, if he lost 20 pounds, then you could negate all of this.
A gallon of gas weighs about 6 pounds.
And that really makes a difference?
So 100...
No.
No, this would change your mileage by less than a tenth of a percent, I think.
Well, let's see. I mean, if you have a 15-gallon tank, which I guess...
Let's assume a 20-gallon tank.
20-gallon tank. And if you put in all 20 gallons, that's 120 pounds. If you've only put in 2 gallons, you're only putting in 12 pounds. So it's 100 pounds.
Let's say the differential is 100 pounds over a 3,000-pound car.
Yeah, that's my point.
Yeah, well... Theoretically, he's right.
Well, no, here's the problem, however.
What?
If you let him win on this issue, what other
crazy ideas does he have?
Yeah. He's got a lot of them.
pretty soon he's going to say, look, in the daytime, you don't need the headlights. Not only do you not need them on, you don't even need them. So you're going to leave them home.
And make sure you get home on time.
Well, he drives a minivan. He does take all the extra seats out all the time, so you don't have that weight either.
Really? Is he an accountant?
An engineer.
Or an engineer?
Yeah, he's retired from the nuclear power industry.
Oh, you know, it must have been too much radiation. Yeah, no,
well...
So technically he's right, but it really doesn't make that big a deal.
Well, but if you do it over 50 years, you're probably saving a significant amount of fuel. So I don't think he's as crazy as we all think he is.
Oh, yeah, he's... Well, no, he's not crazy, but you have to also factor in
all the stops you have to make to get gas.
Well, yeah, that too, and the time it takes, for example, for him to take the seats out of the van and put them back in, and that's worth something. And while, in fact, you may be saving some fuel, you may be expending, you know, enough energy that you're lowering your productivity in your job. Yeah, he's going to wear out the gas cap. I mean, that's one. You're taking it on, putting it off, taking it on.
Well, we've been happily married.
So I think, Deborah, you should try to nip this in the bud as best you can. Because it's only going to get worse.
Well, how long has this been going on?
20 years.
Well, no, it's been just recently with the fuel price hike.
Oh.
Yeah.
And he's retired.
And he's retired, exactly.
He's got nothing else to do.
Right. And so he worries about all these little things.
Yeah. Well, how long has it been retired?
About 3 years.
Yeah.
My wife told me that when I retire, she's going to kill me.
Oh, don't worry. We're going to do it before. Don't worry. She won't have to worry.
And all the guys I work with say that if I don't retire, they're going to kill me.
Well, Deborah,
we've been happily married for 14 years, and I figure we'll survive this, too. So.
No, it is harmless, yeah. As long as he doesn't do anything that endangers anyone. You know, he said, well, you know, you don't need all that brake fluid in there because, you know, chances are that you're not going to spring a leak, so we're going to take half of that out. So there.
Well, he's right. You don't need all of it.
he could get carried away as long as he doesn't go beyond this. But you know what? Save our number. Call us if you need us.
Okay. Thank you so much.
See you later.
Okay. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Good luck, Deborah.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Will from Baltimore.
Hey, Will, what's going on?
Well, my question has to do more with accessories than the car itself.
Good.
I've got a 2004 Forester, and last week I happened to be in Florida and picked up a very sweet dashboard hula doll.
I have one myself.
Yeah, well, there you go. So, but the problem is that the Forester's got those compartments all over the place, and in the center of the dashboard, where one would normally want to display an icon
said hula doll.
Yeah, exactly. They've got this little, compartment thing that opens, like where you could put your receipts and laundry things and stuff like that.
Exactly. Right. I know exactly the thing.
Yeah. So the only place to put it would be next to that, but that would put the hula doll over the airbag lid. And so my question is it safe to put it there, or in the event of, you know, a crash, would I be launching the hula doll through the forehead of my cat?
Yeah, I don't think I'd put anything over the airbag, especially a hula doll. I mean, I don't know what the mass of your hula doll is, but mine is significant. I don't think I'd want to see that go down my throat if there were a crash. And, you know, that's exactly where it would wind up, too.
Yeah. I don't know if it was hinged back, because I thought it would be hinged at the front of the car, so it would open, so that, you know, the doll would go through the windshield and not through a forehead.
No, that splits open.
It splits open.
It splits open.
And when it does, it's going to take the hula doll with it, and it's going to go off to the side, and the airbag is going to come straight out.
Yeah, that hula doll is going to ricochet around the interior of the car at about, if I'm not mistaken, about 200 miles an hour until it comes to rest in somebody's ear. So, I mean, I have actually I have a hula doll in my car.
Yes.
And I have because I don't have
and quite an, quite a hula doll.
Well,
it is.
In fact, this hula doll is special because as the years have gone on, she's lost more of her dress every year. Well, it's just one of those things that happens with her
it
being
happens.
In the hot sun like that. And but I also have another little thing, a Mr. Clammy, which is a guy with you know with the spiny little legs, who's a clamshell, and I just affixed him to the far left side of my dashboard, so only I can really see Mr. Clammy. And I just glued his feet to the plastic of the dashboard with silicone adhesive.
And there you go.
Yeah, so you might find a new place.
I'll investigate. Yeah, the thing is, it's got that hump over the speedometer on the thing, so she might be at a 45-degree angle, but that could be interesting, too.
it could be. Well, Will, I mean, I hope you solve this dilemma because you can't go around without the hula girl.
Well, I will, and when I get it solved, I'll send you a picture.
Absolutely.
Oh, absolutely.
We'll post it on our website.
Okay.
Thanks for your call,
Thanks, Will.
Thank you very much.
You know, it's calls like these that really separate NPR from, you know, from the other networks.
From the real car shows.
Well, look, folks, it's happened again. You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David, the Cavs of Belleville Green, Carly High Voltage Knicks, and Catherine Frau Blooper, Fenolosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Britchard. Our engineer is John Carton-Parati. Our interns are Ariel Niedermeyer and Kira McKnight, and our technical spiritual and menu advisors just back from the Bonneville Flats, Simmering Vats, Barbecued Gnats, German-Style Brats, Margarine Pats, and Childler Bats, No Trans Fats, Chew, Chomp, and Chats, is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our director of guaranteed repeat business is Lucinda Bolts. The director of our employee loyalty program is Upton Leftus. Our lost luggage tracker is Lester Carey. Our holiday entertainment coordinator is Carol Ling. Our ranch foreman is Hyman Old Cowhand. Our in-house answer man is Drew Blank. Our Russian chauffeur is Pikoff and Dropoff. Our optometric firm is CFI Care. Guest accommodations are provided by the Horse Road Inn. And the head of our working mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. We've had a lot of people for the holidays. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the chainmail-clad meter maids in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click & Clack, the Tappert Brothers. Don't drive like my brother.
Don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1149, download classic Car Talk episodes, or check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, see how everyone else is killing time.
Yeah, if you're goofing off at work and need something to do, now you can quickly find the most popular stuff on our website.
Yes, you can.
We now have an up-to-the-minute list of the most viewed, most shared, and most commented on content on the site.
Why is send hate mail always on top of all this list?
Programming glitch, I'm sure. It's nothing more than that. Check out our most viewed, most shared, most commented list anytime at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though the RCA dog puts his paws over his ears and howls whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR.